Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The box scores for the American League Championship Series are awash in zeros. Three pitching duels so far. The game last night, a gem won by the Red Sox thanks to a home run by Mike Napoli and a great performance from John Lackey. Sox closer Koji Uehara closed the door.
Game over. Red Sox win game three and a 1-0 final here in Detroit.
So they lead the series 2-1 now. And to talk about the week in sports, but who are we kidding? It's all about the Sox-Tigers this week, is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Anthony, there's this soccer game I want to talk about a little.
Yeah, in your dreams, Bill. So Detroit has put up three amazing pitching performances in a row, striking out 43 Red Sox, holding them to a combined batting average under 100, and yet the Red Sox lead the series 2-1. I kind of don't get it.
It's not the sort of thing that you would have predicted if somebody had said to you, the Red Sox are going to strike out this many times, and Detroit, which of course has a very strong pitching staff, is going to get three great performances from its starting pitchers. You wouldn't have guessed that it would be 2-1 Boston at this point.
And Bill, I just before I ask you a question about the Sox, I have to mention that last night I was driving and happened to, for some reason, stop on a sports radio station, which is really atypical of me. And a caller called in and said he wanted to talk about the Celtics. And the radio person just said, no, we're not talking about that. That's for another time. So given your remark about soccer, I see.
Yeah, well, obviously I was being facetious. It is very exciting when you get to this point of the season and all of a sudden people are kind of getting a little bit of a sense that the Red Sox may get back to the World Series.
Exactly. So, Bill, let's bring in by phone Keith Naughton from Detroit. He writes about the Tigers for Bloomberg. And he was at the game last night. He grew up in Detroit, and he is, of course, a fan of that team. Keith, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
And Keith, although I have to feel joy for the Sox, I also do sympathize. So give us a sense of your thoughts on the series and the mood in Detroit today.
Well, it's like a pitcher's duel is what it really comes down to, as Justin Verlander called it last night. It's two heavyweights going at it, punch for punch. And it's an amazing display of pitching and incredibly sort of inept display of hitting.
So does Detroit have sort of the pitching answer for the next game? How is this going to play out, do you think?
Well, Pfister is starting tonight. He's another, you know, fantastic starter for Detroit. That's not their problem. The starters are doing wonderful. The problem, as we saw in Game 2, can be the bullpen.
Yeah, and the bullpen, it looks like Jim Leland has lost faith in the closer, Benoit. Do the Tigers have an answer for this problem, this bullpen problem?
Well, you saw last night they did sort of by committee, one pitcher per batter, and they finally used Phil Koch to go up against Big Poppy, which they probably should have done on Sunday night, because Koch has a history of getting him out, and Benoit obviously couldn't. They have, you know, one of their former starters, Rick Porcello, in the bullpen, but he hasn't been pitching very well out of the bullpen, so they don't really have a great answer.
If I can step in here
Please
for a minute,
don't.
I have the answer.
What's that?
Score some runs.
Well, Bill, let me ask you about that, because speaking of scoring some runs, striking out 43 times doesn't bode well for the Red Sox in terms of scoring runs. Are they going to get over their hitting drought?
You know, this is a glass empty sort of an attitude you've got here, Anthony. You know, who cares how many times they strike out? They're up two games to one. You know, they got a home run from Big Papi. They got a big home run from Napoli last night. Come on, who cares?
Bill, these pitching duels are really exciting for some people to sit through. Other people find them absolutely excruciating. What's your emotion as you watch?
I don't think the two terms are mutually exclusive. I think they're exciting and excruciating at the same time. They're dreadfully difficult to sit through when you realize if your team is up one run, that one swing of the bat or a walk and one swing of the bat can turn the game the other way. And they're equally excruciating if you're down a run and your team isn't scoring and you're going through this awful sort of, you know, a kind of weird thing that's built into baseball, which is what's going on here. Either the other team is brilliantly pitching to batter after batter after batter, or my hitters have all of a sudden collectively forgotten how to swing the bat. and you will never know. That's one of those conundrums that you never figure out, whether it's, you know, good pitching is supposed to beat good hitting, especially in the postseason. But, boy, teams do go into team slumps, and maybe that's happened. Maybe that's happened to both teams. I mean, you could argue that both teams are in team
slumps. It's a double slump.
Yeah.
Keith Naughton, do you want to weigh in on the excruciating exciting of the pitching duels?
I think pitching excitement is in the eye of the beholder. I'm betting that a lot of Sox fans found it very exciting when Miguel Cabrera and Prince Fielder were struck out back-to-back with one out and men on the corners in the eighth inning last
Absolutely.
Night. Absolutely. It was plenty exciting. So, you know, excitement comes in many forms, not just in home runs, and, you know, we're not going to see many of them, apparently. I wanted to just mention the pitching line of the Detroit starters for the first three games. 21 innings, 2 earned runs.
Yeah.
6 hits, 9 walks, 35 strikeouts.
35.
That's the starters. And yet, Detroit is down 2-1. It defies logic.
So, given that we're looking at a series that defies logic, we're looking at what, 12-9 tonight?
Well, they've all been 1-1-run games so far. I'm not going to expect anything different tonight.
Well, and Keith, in one of the papers in Detroit today, the Detroit Free Press, Mitch Albom wrote this. He said, "The game died as if someone tripped over the plug." It's a great line. So do you think more of the same, or do you think we're going to start seeing a little bit more scoring, some more spice?
Well, the big news this afternoon is Jim Leland has shaken up the lineup. He's moved Austin Jackson, the leadoff hitter who's been doing nothing but striking out, down to the 8th hole, and he's moved Torrey Hunter into leadoff, followed by Cabrera and Fielder and Martinez. So he is trying something with the lineup to see if he can get things going. Jackson was setting such a horrible tone by leading off with strikeouts continuously that maybe this will put a spark in him.
Interesting. Keith, Bill, time for predictions. Who wins the pennant? What do you think, Bill?
I am so uncomfortable making predictions.
I know. And I like asking the tough questions.
Especially with a situation like this where these games have been so weird by the standards established by both teams over the course of the regular season. I like Boston's chances. I go back to the old Tim Kirkchin line that he's been giving me all year long, which is there are no super teams. And so, you know, I like Boston. There's some holes in the Boston machine, but I don't think quite as many. And the big difference to me watching some of these games is Detroit really can't run. Hmm. And Boston can. This is unusual for a Red Sox team, but they got some speed.
Keith, we'll give you the final word. What about a prediction?
Well, I guess I'll argue the other side, of course, but I'll argue it based on how the Tigers did in the ALDS. They were down 2-1 against the Athletics, who seemed to be totally overpowering them, and they had to come back and win the Game 5 in Oakland behind Justin Verlander. I think when you have pitchers that are of this talent, eventually that wins.
All right. That's Keith Naughton from Detroit. He writes about the Tigers for Bloomberg, and Bill Littlefield of Only a Game. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.